So we had our extra amma. Why did we put up two parochets, one at the front end and one at the back end of that amma? Because we didn't know where to put the parochet. At this point, the Gemara thinks that that means we don't know whether the distance of that amma traxim was taken off of the area that was supposed to be lefnai velefnim, so that it's now one amma shorter, or it's taken off of the area that was the hecha, which was just lefnim. And that should be one amma shorter. Since we didn't know which one, we made each one to full size. And then we took an extra amma and we put the parochet there. And that way, whichever way it was supposed to be, will work out fine. So either the parochet is at the beginning of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or it's at the beginning of the, at the end of the
lefnim. I'm sorry, I didn't understand it. How did we do it?
We put up two parochets, yeah. One at either end of an extra amma. Mm-hmm. So we had the full area.
Cordoned off.
Right.
Is there, there's no problem with putting extra mechitza in.
In other words, we look at it as one mechitza. Right now, the Gemara thinks that your question is a good question. So right now, the Gemara thinks it's not an extra mechitza. Because right now, the Gemara thinks that it doesn't, that either this one is the right parochet or that one is the right parochet. Later, we'll see that no, it's really supposed to take the place of the amma traxim. So right now, either the amma, in other words, one of the parochets is at the end of the an amma and the hechel, and the other one is at the beginning of the lifnai v'lifnim. I don't know what to do about that problem, about an extra parochet. I mean, that's a good question. Why isn't it a hisaf on the binyan if it's not supposed to be there? I don't know. But in the end, it works out. Maybe the Gemara could have asked that kasha, but it has a better kasha. Maskev Aravim, my time. Why do you say, come on in, there's lots of room. Why do you say that there's such a problem? Bishum Is it because we're given one measurement for the entire bayis, which is 60 amos long? And then one pasuk says, V'arba'im ba'ama haya habayis hu heichol lifnoi. That 40 amas was the hecha, which is lifnei, and then it says lifnei hadvir, in front of the dvir, meaning in other words beyond the dvir is the mechitza, which could mean either a traxin or a parochas. Esrim ama orech vesrim ama rocha vesrim ama komaso, so that apparently the 60 consists of 40 in the hecha and 20 in the kodesh hakodashim, without allowing us any room for where to put this extra mechitza. We're still coming up with 60. So therefore you're saying, what you're saying, Rav Nosson, then, is that we don't know whether the traxin was taken off of the 40, so it's really 39 plus an amma traxin, or whether it's really 19 in lifnai v'lifnim plus an amma traxin. Well, I got news for you. Maybe it's neither. Alright, so how do we work it out? Because chalala kachoshiv, kosum lo kachoshiv. When it says that there were 60 amas in the hechal, it means there were 60 amas of open space in the binyan of Shlomo. And the proof is, even though that sounds a little unusual, but teda, I can prove it to you. The kolecha, the kachoshiv, kosum, choshiv levodidei. Every time we find a plan of the Beis HaMikdash that mentions the thickness of the wall, it always mentions separately the makom of the chitza besides the shishim of the hechal. For instance, the tana. A hechal mea al mea barum mea. And here's how it goes. Kosal ulam. Starting from the outside. Now the hechal includes the ulam also in this case. So the kosal of the ulam is chamesh. Ha ulam achadesre. So we have a total of 16 between the ulam and the kosal of ulam. It sounded good for a while here. Do you have the old Voice of America transmitter, maybe?
Can you ask them, like, to lower it down for half an hour?
Not the cooperative thing.
No.
Okay. That can't get on your nerves. Kosel Echal Sheish. Then coming into the binyan itself, another 6 amas for the wall of the Echal proper. V'yorcho arba'im amas, 40 amas empty space. The amma traxin, one amma of wall, the esrim amma based kodesh hakodashim. So here we see clearly that the traxin was besides the 40 and the 20. So when it said 60 in the pasuk, it was not referring to the walls plus the space. It was referring just to the space. Kozo Ahechel, that we might as well finish up. Going towards the back now of the Beit HaMikdash, coming towards the west, the wall of the Ahechel itself was Sheish. Hata Sheish, the little room in back of the Ahechel, was another 6 amas. For Kozo Hata Chamesh, 5 additional amas for the thickness of the wall, the outside of the Ta, and so on. That gets us to 100. So therefore, Reb Nosson couldn't have really had a problem about the Amah Traksin as to where it was put. But what was the problem? They didn't know whether the Kedusha of the Traksin, the thickness of the wall, did that have a din of Lifnim, or does it have a din of Lachutz? In which case, we don't know where to put our Mechitza, which is now a Parochas. Because if we put it up in front, then maybe we're including some of the Kedusha of the Echal behind the Mechitza. And the Mechitza is supposed to be the Mechitza between the Kedusha of the Echal and the Kedusha of the Kodesh Kodashim. If we put it towards the back, then again, maybe we're including some of the Kedusha of the Kodesh Kodashim in the Echal. So therefore, what we had to do is essentially imitate the Traksin itself, put up an Amma by having 2 Parochets on either end of the Amma. And then, whatever the din is, we're Yotzi, because it's exactly the way it was in the first place. The whole thing now serves as a mechitza between one and the other, just like the tracks and inside. So, I can't get away from the suspicion that they're doing this on purpose. Who listens to the radio at such volume? This is nothing. Would you like to sell this place for $100? I have some mafia contacts. Rabbi Yochanan, behind the number of Yochanan, boy Yosef Ish Hutza. Yosef Ish Hutza wanted to understand how he's to read the pasuk. It says, Udvir betocha bayis mipnima hechin, letiten chamis aron bris Hashem. That Shlomo HaMelech prepared a dvir. A dvir is the mechitza that should be to prepare a place inside for the Aron. Now, Iboilu asked Yosef Yishutzel, how are we to read this pasuk? Hechiko amakro, udvir betoch abayis mipnima hechin letitensha. Does it mean that he was making dvir betoch abayis? And mipnima, meaning within that dvir, he was making a makom, meaning the kodshi akadoshim, for the Aron. In which case, the dvir itself would have been outside of the Kedusha of the Lifnim, the Dvir being the Traksin. Or the other way to learn it, Odil Mochikoma. The Dvir betocha bayis mipnima, the Dvir was also inside. In other words, it was part of the Kedusha Lifnai Vilifnim, and within that was a place for the Aron. So that's exactly what Reb Nosson was saying. We didn't know. The same kasha that Yosef ben Utzal is asking, how do I understand the Pasuk? Is what Reb Nosson is saying. The Chachomim were never machriya that issue. Memela, we had to put up 2 parochets. In fact, the Gemara Mimes Avkale, is that true though? Vahatanya Isi ben Yehuda, now we already saw we had 2 times in the Daf Yomi, that Isi ben Yehuda is Yosef Yishutza. If you recall, one of those times was when we met Reb Asi, who was arguing with Reb Shila back in Nida. And he said to Reb Shila, I don't know how you have the nerve to argue with me, at which point he rips open his shirt and turns out he's got this big Superman thing in there. And he says, I am Yosef, Yosef ben Yehuda, who is Yosef ben Gurariye, who is made out of brass, who never rots. Now I dare you to say who you are, right? And that was that whole story where Tosfos says, well, why doesn't he already mention Yosef Yishutzel and Yosef, right? So that's the first place we talked about. The other place we had back in Sochim, we had the whole list of all of the different names that this is Yosef ben Gamliel, and he's Isi ben Yehuda, and Yehuda ben Gamliel, and all these various names. It's really Reb Asi. Right? He was going under these different identities depending on which of his telephone booths he's using on that day to destroy which sugya, right? Each sugya had its own particular way of living. Anyway, so when we're asking for Yosef ben Yehuda, that is Yosef Yishutzel. So that's why we're asking from it. Anyway, here it says Yosef Yishutzal wasn't sure how to read this pasuk. The problem is that Isi ben Yehuda, which was one of his other identities, said that Chomesh Mikrais Betera in Lem Hechreya, that there's only 5 places that we don't know how to read a pasuk properly. whether we're supposed to put the asnachta before or we're supposed to put the asnachta afterwards. So one of them is by Cain and Hevel. The unbelief. Maybe afterwards we should give them a serenade. Right. One of them is halo im teitiv se'et, in which case im teitiv se'et would mean you will get nesias oved, lashon of no se'avon. The other way to read it is that no, that se'et im lo teitiv, meaning you're going to be no se'avon, meaning you're going to have a sin if you're not mated. The other one is mishukadim, where it says arba'a gvi'im mishukadim kaftorel frachel. Does that mean the gvi'im are mishukadim or mishukadim kaftorel frachel? Not clear. Machar. It says v'tzei hilachim ba'amalek. It says machar anochi nitzav. Now that may mean tzei hilachim ba'amalek machar, and then anochi nitzav alahar, or may mean tzei hilachim ba'amalek now. And machar anochi nitzav, but you don't need me for the first part of the battle. That's easy. I'll just take care of the sun problems and things like that. Right? And then we also have the problem of arur. Because we don't know how to read the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. Ritzono Akru Shor Arur Apam Kiyaz, which is the Arur is Apam! The other way, you certainly provided us some comic relief. The other way is Eshor Arur, in which case if the Shor was Arur, it was referring not to Yosef, but was referring to Shechem.
How many is it?
What? A cruel as shore a roar. A lousy shore. Apam kiyaz.
Which was Shechem?
Which would mean Shechem, not Yosef.
What would that mean, apam kiyaz?
What?
Would that mean apam kiyaz?
Oh, they've really got a lot of anger. People think it's me doing this thing. There's people walking by and watching me move my lips and they hear this.
But what would that mean? What would he be saying about apam kiyaz?
I think they have a very bad anger. They got big problems, these people. They got a lot of anger in them.
But he's giving brothers or fellows or
whatever. No, he's defining them. Apam kiyaz. Oh, it's like the other brothers.
Apam
oz.
What?
Kiyaz. Don't worry about it. The kam, the other one is in chasho chevi mavosecha, the kam ha'amazen. Now it could be in chasho chevi mavosecha the kam, in which case it's right at the Tchias HaMesim, like the Gemara that they used this as a... Right? And then, ha'amazen, whatever. This is one of the places where the Torah Tumima claims that we use the word in both directions. The problem is that it's pretty clear from Tosfos that it's definitely not been used in both directions. Right. V'atanya, and we also learn who Yosef Yishutzo, who Yosef Ababli, who Isi ben Yehuda, who Isi ben Gurariye, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Malalel, Umashmo, oh, Isi ben Akiva Shmo. Anyway, but meanwhile, we see that he couldn't possibly have wondered how to read the Pasuk Udvir Mipnima, because then he should have said that there were six mikros, She'en Lemechreya. No, but he arrives at Lekha. He was talking about in the Chamishachem Sheik Terah, there's only five, but then in the Vihike. There's plenty of psukim in Nevi'im that isn't clear how to read. Ubdiraisa Leka. There's none other. What about the famous one from Chagiga? Ika the boy Rafista. Vaishlakas Nare B'nei Yisrael. Vaya'alu Olot Kvasim. There's two ways of learning it. It doesn't say Kvasim, of course. That we're throwing that in. We could read it like this. Vaishlakas Nare B'nei Yisrael. Vaya'alu Olot Vaizbakuz Vachim Shlamim Porim. Or and besides that, now those olot were what olot usually are, kvasim. Then besides that, v'yizbechuz vachim shlamim parim. So we don't know whether the parim goes back on the zebach or even back on the olos. So why doesn't EC include the kshayla of Rav Chisda and say that there are six mikros she'le mechreya? No, Lurav Chista, Mesapkele, Lisi Ben Yudah Pshitale. You don't argue with a Gurariye. Hachitzona, Haita Prufa Min Hadaron.
Yet he doesn't say which way is Pshitale.
Upnim is Minatzafon. The outside, I'm assuming that we're not following Rabbi Yossi Shita, and in fact there are two separate parochas. The outermost one, as we learned yesterday, is open from the south, which is why Rabbi Yudah said the approach is to the south. And the inside one would be from the north. Therefore, the Kohen would be Mahalech Beinayim Achim Agil Etzafon. So he entered the south, turned and walked towards the north, Igil at Zafon, when he got to the north, Ofech Panav L'Dorom, he entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and immediately made a U-turn to go down, because he had to get between the bottom of the Oran. So he went down now, back towards the south. This time, his left hand would be walking along the Parochas, because he was entering from the north side, going to the south side. Right now, the Heichal's back, right? If you're standing at Kodesh Marov, you're at the back of the Heichal, going facing the other way. If he's going towards the south, his left hand is walking along the Parochas inside. And then he continues to walk Achu Magi al Oren, until he gets to the Oren. Now, of course, as Hanino pointed out, this is a rather serious problem because there was no Oren. If there was a Parochas there, then there wasn't an Oren there. And if there was an Oren there, then there wasn't a Parochas there. So there's no way that this Mishnah could ever have happened. But the Gemara will ask that.
Why is that?
Because the Amatraxin was at the first place of interest. So what Parochas was he walking by? Higiel Orain, nosin es ha-machta ben shnei ha-badim, when he comes to the Oran, he put the machta down between the two badim of the Oran. Sovar es ha-ktor es ha-gabe ha-gecholim, seems to be going according to Man Yomar, who says, we had a machlokas before, whether you sprinkle it over the gecholim so that it should come out in a big flash, or whether you would sover it so it should gradually burn. Here it says he was sover it. V'nismalek alabayit kulo ashan, the entire Heichal would get filled with smoke. The entire Panim would get filled with smoke. Yotzer bolo kiderach b'derach beis knisa. So he walked out with the same directions that he walked in, meaning that it was still his left hand that was along the parochas, which means he did not turn around, but rather he walked out facing the arm backwards, right, so that he was still in the same exact position. U'mispalo tefila ketzora b'beis hachitzon. In the Heichal he would say a short prayer. But he didn't say a very long prayer because people would get very tense about whether he was ever going to make it out, and it wasn't too exciting to think that the Kohen Gadol had expired in attempting to be Masig a Kapora. So, the Mayaskina. Now, what are we talking about? Ilema b'migdash rishain mi'avi parochas. If we're talking about the Migdash Rishain, there was no parochas. Elva Migdasheni, there was no Oren. So one way or the other, this mission is hopeless. V'atanya, Mishenignaz Aron, when the Oren was hidden, Nignazai Motzin Tzenas Hamon, a number of things were hidden with the Oren. The Tzenas Hamon was hidden, the Tzelukis of the Shemana Mishcha, which was kept by the Oren, was hidden, the Makel of Aron, together with Shkideo Fracheha, the Argaz, Shishagro Plishtim Dorona Lokei Yisrael, the box that had the presents that the Plishtim had sent back at the time that they had captured the Oren, Shemro Chle Azahav Asher Hashivo Samlo Hashem Tasimu Bargaz Mitzido Bishilachtemo Tzovahalach. So that was the mice over there that the Oren went back by itself, and the Porais went directly to the Beit Shemesh. Umiganzo. When was all of this nignas? What happened? Yoshio Ganzo. It was Yoshio Hamelach who put them away. Mara Ashikamzo. Why did he want to be gone, is it? Ra'ashikatsu, because he found the whole tochacha was open, right? So he found that it said, Yolech Hashem Moschavitz Malkacha Shetakim Alecha. So therefore, Omad Begonzo, he said, why should I, if apparently we're Tzafui to Golos, then why should we allow the Goyim to capture the Oren again? Let's hide them.
And
we
see. What did he saw it open?
The sefer was opened in that place. Shneimer vayomer lalaviim amevinim l'chol Yisrael akadoshim laHashem. Tznu es Aron Hakodesh u'bayis Asher bana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael, which is a ridiculous thing to say hundreds of years after the Beis Hamikdash was built. 4 centuries later, all of a sudden he remembers it's time to put in the Aron in the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, this happened back at the time of Shlomo. So what's he telling? He tells the Leviim, put the Aron into the Beis Hamikdash. In lachem masar bekatef, you have no longer Masa Bekatef is no longer an opportunity, which the Yerushalmi explains means you think you'll be bringing it back. If they get hold of it, you'll never be bringing it back. There won't be a Masa Bekatef. Mamela, leave it here permanently. And therefore, if you do Hashem, Lokechem as Amo Yisrael, sometimes you have to be Oved Hashem by doing something that looks the opposite of Oved Hashem. To get rid of the Oren, to get rid of all of these things that we're supposed to keep, Lemishmeres, Ladairais, it's better that people should forget where it is completely. So it'll never be captured. Omer Belazer, how do we know that all of these things were together? As Yashama Shama, first of all, by the Orain it says, Asher Yivaed Lecha Shama. By the Tzintzeza, we want to go back on each one of these things in order over here. So the Tzintzeza Zaman that we said was also there, it says, V'tein Shama Mala Omer Ma. In which case, we understand that Shama means whatever the din is of the Orain should be the din of the Tzintzeza. Just like there it's a Shama, there it's a Shama. V'as Yodoros Doros. And furthermore, we now know that the Tzeluchis, we can learn out from the Tzintzeza Zaman, because by the Tzintzeza it says, L'mishmer Sodorosecha. So therefore, I now know that by the tzluchas, when it says Shemim Mishkas Kodesh Yezel Dorosecha, Dorosecha means it should have the same din also as the tzintzenes, and therefore, if the tzintzenes is to be nignezes, so too is the tzluchas. The Asim Mishmeres also says LeMishmeres Dorosecha. So we can learn out also the lashon of Mishmeres that we find by the Makel of Aaron LeMishmeres LeBnei Meri. We learn out also from the tzluchas. Answers the Gemara, okay, well, you're right, we got a problem. The Mishnah could never have happened. Because never did the Kohen walk to the south with his left arm against the Parochas to get to Bein Abani. But what the Mishnah means to say, Zuyom HaMikdashen, obviously we have to be talking about there was a Parochas. But when it says that he was a Gil Aron, it doesn't mean a Gil Aron. My Gil Aron, Mokom Aron. He should pretend that he's putting it down in the place which would have been Bein Abani. But Makatani Nasan is a machta lebein shnei habani. Ima kibein shnei habani. He has to have a very good imagination, according to God. So he should see the aron there and put it between the body aron. So it's not just like, I mean, the implication here is that it's not just identifying a place, but it's identifying the nesinas in terms of the aron, except that the aron itself we don't see. It's not there anymore. But this is the Bein Abanim. It still has the shame Bein Abanim. At least they know what the pronoun is.
We can put this in a second. Mr. Singer's
going to enjoy the steak while in. The orange fit exactly on the Evan. It was always there, though, the
Evan. Right, the next mission discusses the Evan mission. I mean, remember, the Gemara comes out that the Aron wasn't really there. That's the whole point, anyway.
But if it was there.
The Aron isn't there in space. It doesn't take up any space.
When it was there, it was on
its own. It wasn't there, because it didn't take up
when
space.
When it was there, it's an Evan mission.
You mean, did you see it on the Evan Ashtia? Yes.
Yes. Did it fill up the whole Evan Ashtia?
The Kohen Gadol really wasn't there either, right?
That's right. Here, this mission is clearly going point to Mandi Omar, who says not mefazra. That is a usual lesson of tzavah, means to put it all in one place. So, in other words, this Tana holds that we want the Keteris to be shei halavai, that it should take time for it to smoke up. Tani chada tzavra pnima she chutza lo, but tani idav tzavra chutza she pnima lo. Now, there's still two ways of learning. Because one man, the Omar, learns that he should be tzeiver more towards the pneem of the Heichal, closer to the Orain, which is chutzalai, it's further away from where he's standing. In other words, in his mind, he's facing the Orain, right? So, therefore, away from himself, so he puts the machta down, with the handle facing himself, and then on the far end of the machta, he starts the tzviras hakteres. Whereas Tanya, the other man, the Omar, says, no. Sovra chutza, he should be tzeiver further away from the Aron, meaning towards himself, shipnima lo, which is right in front of him. Amar Abaye, these two prices are obviously machlokas tanoim. The Amar Abaye mistavra k'van di Amar pnima shichutza lo. It's reasonable, at least from the Mishnayos, that we hold that you should be tzeiver more towards the pnim, which is away from yourself, start at the far end of the machta. It's not, because in the Mishnah it says, Melamdi Maisai, Yizayer Shelo Tatchil Mipanecha Shema Tichaveh, that when it comes to the normal, daily keteres, we tell the Kohen, listen, smarty, make sure you start the keteres on the other end, because if you start it towards you, you're going to burn your hand. It's like my wife always insists on lighting the candles closest to her first on Shabbos, and then she always goes to the far candles. What? She passes like this other man the armor. But the result is that you always burn your hands over. So Mamela, we tell him it makes more sense to start on the far end, so that when it burns, when it starts burning, you don't burn your hand as you put the keteris. Mamela on Yom Kippur makes sense to do the same thing. Put the machta down and then start on the other end, because when the keteris starts burning, it's hot. The ocean is hot. You get burned.